FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presents Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna, a program that is seeking to lead young adults to Christ and to enkindle a deeper faith that is fully alive. Now, here is your host.
How's it going, everyone? I hope each of you is having a great day. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast, the 8th episode of Saints Who Lead Us. I'm Catherine Laguna, your host. If this is your first time joining me, you chose a great moment to do so. This episode will be talking about being on the actual road to sainthood. So we haven't actually reached sainthood just yet with some of the people we'll be talking about throughout the podcast. I want us to go into Lenten season with a mission or a discernment. And what better way than learning how regular people like you and I reached the level of sainthood, or even just the first step. I think this is definitely a season in our liturgical calendar where we spend much of our time in prayer, in fasting, making more sacrifices in order to grow closer to God. Okay, so a few times a week, I look through the USCCB website, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, to see what new articles they've posted or to look up any saint days that are up and coming on the calendar. So their calendar is actually really user-friendly if you ever want to check it out, and it helps with knowing the seasons of the church or any up and coming feast days, which is actually really helpful for me for this podcast. So I noticed there was a blurb right on their homepage that read something along the lines of, "Meet Catholics of African descent who may one day be saints." So I clicked on that, and it took me to this article dedicated to four different individuals who are not saints yet, but could be on the road to becoming saints. It made me think, maybe some of us, no matter what the age we are, don't necessarily see the possibility of ourselves being on the road to sainthood. But I'll tell you a secret. We should never assume we're unqualified or incapable of reaching holiness. I think it's hard to become a movie director or to have a number one hit on the Billboard charts. You have so many people invested in having committed fans to buy your movie or your music, how many followers you have on Twitter, and all of that jazz. But with striving to sainthood or holiness, all we have is God as our number one fan, right? So with Black History Month wrapping up, I think it'll be educational to go through this article and see that a saint can one day be you, can be me, it can even be your child one day. And we'll definitely be using that article throughout the podcast. But first, let's backtrack a little bit. So what is a saint? I used to think it's a really old person, someone from a few centuries ago or so, a person who was very wise, must have had maybe 5 different degrees, and who would spend more hours in church or in prayer than anything else. Okay, maybe my old interpretations of a saint, it's a little outdated. How about just someone who freely gives up everything they own and follows Jesus? It reminds me of the story of Simon and his brother Andrew. When they were fishing in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Without hesitation, they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. And the story of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 continues with James and his brother John doing the same thing. It sounds a bit extensive for our day and age, right? Well, unless we really consider a situation. So the other day, someone dropped a $20 bill right in front of me at the store. It could have been the easiest reaction to, "Wait a moment, no one is looking, and now I'm slowly placing my foot on it to hide it until I can somehow carefully tie my shoe." Something as simple as that is when Jesus is like, "Catherine, come after me, and I will guide you toward holiness." I think we all have had some kind of similar situation happen to us, right? Doing works of good is the first step on the road to sainthood. So let's go back to that question. What is a saint? The correct explanation is, the title is given to someone who has been formally canonized by the church as sharing eternal life with God and therefore offered for public veneration and imitation. So it's a person that throughout their life, they lived a life worthy of imitation, right? They somehow showed such a faithful desire to do God's work, be servants for those in need, that the church recognizes them as great examples of faith, especially for us. That doesn't mean they didn't struggle along the way. Remember that St. Augustine was constantly pushed to surrender to his temptations. St. Peter the Apostle denied Jesus 3 times before fully accepting the truth. That is a big one, which means even in our own struggles or faults, we can overcome those obstacles and be better Catholic examples for family, for our friends, and for even our strangers. I was messaging a fellow friend the other day on Facebook, since I enjoy sharing these podcasts on my page. And after we discussed the guilt episode and people living with burden, we got into this conversation about perfection. And he told me people might have different interpretations of what perfection is these days and how important it's gotten to reach that level. But he also told me there's plenty of stories in the Bible that tells us we don't have to be flawless, but be the women and man God wants us to be. Technically, we already are perfect since God created each of us in the likeness of himself, which is perfection. What matters is our willingness to strive for a stronger relationship with Jesus. I wrote down a few Bible verses that tells us we don't need to strive for perfection the world thinks we should have. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Ecclesiastes 7:20, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." That one is an excellent verse about creating goals and having a plan for life, but knowing that God is our pilot of our 747. And you'll soon see how these individuals in the USCCB article also faced their own challenges. They weren't perfect, but willing to have that intimate bond with Christ. So according to the church's teachings, there are actually 3 steps to becoming a saint. So a candidate first becomes venerable. That's the first step. Step 2, blessed. And then the last step is finally the saint. So the catechism tells us that venerable is the title given to a deceased person recognized formally by the Pope as having lived a heroically virtuous life. Beatified and recognized as a blessed, one member acquired through the candidate's intercession is required in addition to recognition of heroic virtue. Then canonization requires a second miracle after beatification. The Pope may waive these requirements. A miracle is not required prior to the martyr's beatification, but one is required before canonization. So there's a lot of different things and steps that goes into forming and deciding on who becomes saints. So in the USCCB article, out of the 4 people, leaders of African descent, that's our theme, 2 of them have already reached the first stage, which is candidacy. Venerable Pierre Toussaint, he already has saint in his last name. He was born a slave in Haiti. And then there's Venerable Henriette, born in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it's exciting to hear about people in our neck of the woods. So here's just a little background on each of these individuals. Venerable Pierre was brought from Haiti to New York and worked for a popular hairstylist in the city. And this is the 1800s New York. So I can imagine the old city, the music, the fashion. And Venerable Pierre eventually became the most wanted hairdresser of high women's society. That's how good he was. So when his master passed away, actually, he gained his freedom and became very successful. In fact, one of the country's first black entrepreneurs. Instead of keeping all of his fortune for himself, though, he decided to support the church and the poor. He and his wife sheltered orphans, refugees, and other street people in their own homes. Wow, right? He founded one of New York's first orphanages and raised money for the city's first cathedral. Venerable Pierre even risked his life during the yellow fever epidemic to nurse those who were sick and pray with those who were dying. Isn't that the meaning of true sacrifice? Giving up a little of yourself, giving up your personal belongings in order to do something of God without hesitation. There it is again. Or even expecting anything in return. I think it's a good point we sometimes face. We shouldn't always expect or desire recognition for doing good things. It becomes less of what we are doing for someone, the act of that kindness we did, and more about being able to show off or even entrap someone into doing something kind in return for us. And actually, I have an example. I was just going to say this one time and we're done, because then, you know, that's also bragging. A few months ago, I actually signed for a new car for my brother. This isn't something I did to then expect praise in return or to begin some countdown to when he'll pay me back. Actually, he never has to pay me back. We were taught to do things out of love and compassion. So much love and compassion that his car is actually better than mine now. I was absolutely happy to do it for him, and I just love that kid to death, so I do anything for him. So we have to also aim to be better at doing good deeds without thinking we deserve compensation. There's this beautiful quote from Venerable Pierre that embodies who he is as a person. Also, he looked at his struggles in life and overcame them. And he says, "I have never felt I am a slave to any man or woman, but I am a servant of Almighty God who made all of us. When one of his children is in need, I am glad to be his slave." Venerable Pierre never let his challenges keep him grounded to the possibilities, and look at all the good that he did, never expecting something in return. And he passed away in 1853. The other venerable in the USCCB article is Henriette from New Orleans, as I mentioned before. And Venerable Henriette lived basically around the same time as Venerable Pierre. It's like 1813, 1862, somewhere around there. And she lived most of her life in the city. She was determined to help those in need for the love of Jesus and for her love for the gospel. But because of her strong faith, she carried many crosses and had to overcome a lot of obstacles. She struggled with the resistance of the ruling population to the idea of a black religious congregation, the lack of money to do any kind of work, and she had poor health. But she believed in sticking up for those who needed help and believed in the justice she think everyone deserved, to not be afraid of doing what was right in the eyes of God. So by 1842, she founded the Congregation of the Sisters of the Holy Family. And that's a beautiful witness to all she did in her community. In her obituary, it says, "Miss Henriette had for long years consecrated herself totally to God without reservation to the instruction of the ignorant and principally to the slave." So Venerable Pierre and Venerable Henriette was given the title of venerable because the Pope at that time recognized that they lived a virtuous life. So maybe you young adults that are listening are thinking, what can we do to be fully committed parishioners at our church or even outside the walls of our parishes? I know at my parish of St. Catherine of Siena, they feed the homeless once a month in the city of Orlando. There's people dedicated to buying the food, cooking the food, delivering the food, and then yes, there's a group that actually serves the food. On average, the parishioners of St. Catherine in this particular ministry feed maybe 300 plus people in just one afternoon. Many of them have formed relationships with the men, women, and the families in need. This is just one way we can minister outside the walls of our own parish. So think of a ministry you've always wanted to be part of at your parish and go to the parish office to find out more information. Or take some time to think about one thing you can do for someone else during this Lent to better their lives and strengthen your faith. The other two mentioned in the USCCB article are actually a religious and a priest, Mother Mary Elizabeth Lang and Father Augustus Tolton. These two are not at step one yet, but their life story can possibly get them on the road to sainthood. So Mother Mary Elizabeth is the founder and the first Superior General of the Sisters of Provence. This one was the first congregation of African-American women's religious in the history of the entire Catholic Church. That's incredible. Elizabeth and three other women professed their vows and became Oblate Sisters of Providence. This congregation educated African-Americans, and they even provided a home for orphans. Father Augustus Stilton was the first Roman Catholic priest in the U.S., publicly known to be black when he was ordained in 1886, the first one. He was a former slave who was baptized and raised Catholic. He led the development and construction of St. Monica's Catholic Church as a black national parish church. Wow. His success to ministering to black Catholics quickly earned him national attention within the Catholic hierarchy. He was called Good Father Gus for his good old sermons and singing voice. Really incredible things done by individuals who decided to make the best of the opportunities they were given, which in those times weren't much. If you want to know more about what the church teaches us about saints, the Catechism of the Catholic Church at 828 tells us, by canonizing some of the faithful, by solemnly proclaiming that they practice virtue and lived in fidelity to God's grace, the church recognizes the power of the spirit of holiness within her and sustains the hope of believers by proposing the saints to them as models and intercessors. The saints have always been the source of origin by renewal in the most difficult moments in the church's history. Indeed, holiness is the hidden source and infallible measure of her apostolic activity and missionary zeal. Wow. So I just couldn't leave you all listening to this episode without giving you at least one saint who went through all three steps we spoke of throughout the podcast. So keeping in line with the importance of diversity, culture, and faith along this episode, Saint Josephine Bakida is also of African descent. And she was born in the Darfur region of southern Sudan. She was actually kidnapped at the age of 7 and sold into slavery. So for many years, Josephine was a slave, but I read that her spirit was always free. St. Josephine eventually was taken to Italy and given to her master's friend. She became a babysitter and took the child to Venice's Institute of the Catechumens, run by Canossian sisters. So she soon felt drawn to the Catholic Church, so much so that she was baptized and confirmed. When St. Josephine was being forced to return to Africa, though, she refused to go. A court case was open, and the Canossian sisters intervened on St. Josephine's behalf. They won, since slavery was illegal in Italy. So, basically, St. Josephine was actually free the entire time she was in Italy. So, as a free woman, she entered the Institute of St. Magdalen of Canossa and made her profession. She assisted her religious community through cooking, sewing, and teaching children at the school. And she once said, "Be good, love the Lord, pray for those who do not know him. What a great grace it is to know God." So here are the three steps in her becoming a saint. The process began in 1959. She was beatified in 1992. That's like around when I was born in the 80s, late 80s, and canonized 8 years later. That's how extensive, faithful, and beautiful the process is. And her feast day is actually in the month of February, so it's very timely. So I hope you learned a lot about the process of becoming a saint. We do these podcasts weekly, and sometimes it's just good to know that someone started from step one instead of always just knowing who the saints are automatically. And for all those who are tuning in this time around, I hope you continue on the journey with us. You're always welcome here at Saints Who Lead Us. So to close off on this episode, let's pray together that we go into Lent with an open heart of growing and of giving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God, you know my heart the best. Please help me be an instrument of goodness and of selflessness. constantly remind me that I'm capable of walking on that road to sainthood you have paid for me. Be my navigator as I make the decision to drop everything and follow you wholeheartedly. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to Saints Who Lead Us. Until next time, have a fabulous day.
FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presented Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna. Thank you for listening. Check out the podcast at faithfitradio.org and tune in next time. May you be blessed with peace and joy.